space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is just going to be a filler kind of episode because Generations is going to be delayed until next week. And I know it's been a couple weeks and I haven't gotten the movies. We were doing so well getting one out every week, but Clay had a deadline come up for work. I've been a little bit busy, so we just haven't managed to get our schedules together to get the Generations recorded. But it's going to come out a week after this gets uploaded, and this will take the space that the movie podcast usually would be. And this podcast is basically going to be a revisiting of my series wrap-up for TOS because now we've watched all the movies and I finished watching all the episodes from the series. If you guys are unaware, for the episodes that we didn't podcast for the original series, I did little write-ups on the website, which is thepenskepodcast.com. If you go to the website, thepenskepodcast.com, you can find the write-ups under the TOS section. They're divided by the seasons. All the episodes that we didn't podcast about are covered there. I wrote little short blurbs, kind of similar to like the Jammers review. If you guys are familiar with that website, I'm sure that you are. So now that I've finished all of those and we finished the movies, I just wanted to do a sort of an update on the series recap that I did before. So not a lot has changed. I don't really have a lot to adjust based on the first part. I still kind of feel the same about all the characters and everything. The real big difference is that in that podcast, I was a little bit like easygoing on season 3 of TOS. And I think it's because when I recorded that, I was probably only halfway through. I hadn't seen all of the season 3 TOS episodes. And now that I finished it, it was a long haul to get through the second half of that season. The second half of season 3 is like a terrible, terrible stretch of really bad episodes. There's like Way to Eden, which is the space hippie episode. There's the one with the woman who's a ghost or like a robot who can kill people and touch the thing, That Which Survives or something. That was a terrible episode. At best, the episodes get average at that point, and an average episode is just kind of like competent, and it's not particularly exciting. But it took a very long time to get through them all because I was really losing motivation, and it really goes to show that the production team just stopped caring basically halfway through season 3. The first half of season 3 actually has a few good, pretty good episodes. I don't think there's a single classic episode all the way through. You guys can now see the ratings, which are up on the website too. So if you go to thepenskepodcast.com and you look up the ratings section, I uploaded my spreadsheet of all the ratings for all the episodes. So if you guys care, you can go there and look at those. But you'll see that there's a tremendous amount of red in the second half of season 3 just because it is so terrible. And having said that, you know, the movies kind of are the redeeming factor here. We've talked about all the movies, and my order now from best to worst would be 4, 2, 6, 1, 5, 3. So it's Voyage Home, Wrath of Khan, Undiscovered Country, Motion Picture, Final Frontier, and then Search for Spock. That's like my order from best to worst. And the movies really elevate the series because they kind of bring this crew that we've been getting used to from the 60s television show into this better place where you get to know them a little bit more. It gives them nice arcs that extend across all six. Like Kirk's arc is basically getting old and being forgotten and that kind of thing. And, you know, the aging is a part that's played. We mentioned how old everyone seems at this point in the movies. And I think that the movies are like, I guess the way to look at this is I would have a hard time recommending someone watch TOS all the way through. I know that I go to the Star Trek Reddit and people are always saying that they've watched all the, they want to watch all the TOS and they want to watch all the episodes. And I'd probably feel the same way. I'm kind of a completionist by nature, which is why I watched all of them. But it's really hard to recommend that someone watch all of the original series episodes. I don't think it's really necessary. Richard on Trek About has always said that he would have preferred to do the TOS the way that I did on Trek About if they had done TOS the way that I did mine, which is just pick some like choice selections. And we still chose 25 episodes, so it's not like we were doing a top 10 or anything. But I think that's kind of the way to go about things. It's not a particularly, it hasn't aged particularly well. It's difficult to watch a lot of the time. The really good episodes are really good, but there's not a lot of them. There's, I'd have a hard time coming up with like five great TOS episodes, which I am ultimately going to do because I'm going to do my top five video after I get the Next Generation out of the way, which is coming up soon. But I'll probably do a top five and bottom five for the entirety of TOS because I don't think it's necessary to do it for each season because you kind of start to get into the reads a little bit once you get down to the five, the four and the five of a season, especially in season three. It's difficult to come up with anything. But my general overall consensus of the seasons would be season one, if you were to watch any bit of TOS, I would watch season one all the way through. I think that gives you a pretty good smattering of what Star Trek is. That feels the most like the universe to me in a lot of ways with the way that the later series went and everything like Deep Space Nine and Voyager and TNG. The first season of Star Trek feels like those series because it's more crew-based. The adventures and the missions that they go on feel a little bit more Star Trek-y than they would eventually become. The first season introduces a lot of tropes, it has a lot of great episodes, it has a lot of terrible episodes. It's a good mix of everything that the series would actually get through. So I would recommend that. It's my favorite season out of TOS, I think. Season 2 is okay, but Season 2 feels like they took the idea that would happen in Season 1 and they just kind of whittled it down to more of a formula. It's where the Kirk, Spock, and McCoy trio started to gain prominence at the expense of everyone else, like Sulu and Uhura and Scotty. Chekhov is introduced, obviously, which is a take-it-or-leave-it kind of event. But Season 2 feels to me like it reminds me of, someone mentioned this in comments too, that it's like the season where they see all the variations of Earth. Like they visit a bunch of different Earth copies that have like one thing going for them, but otherwise they're exactly like Earth. It's like Piece of the Action with the Chicago gangsters, and then there's the one with the space Nazis and stuff like that. And that's what season two feels like to me. It feels like season one, sort of bare bones and just more formulaic. Season three is just kind of bad. It's a continuation of season two in that it's formulaic, but the budget is slashed. Everything feels a little bit sloppy. The scripts are very bad. The production just seems to have totally not cared halfway through the season. They knew they were getting canceled. Really, really terrible episodes. Some of the worst episodes and some of like the most boring episodes, which in my opinion make for some of the worst episodes of any of the series. But like That Which Survives, I think, is like an underrated, terrible episode of the show. No one ever really mentions that as a bad one, but it's really, really terrible. And outside of that, I think that would be the way. So if people are looking for advice about what to watch in TOS, I would say just watch the first season. Otherwise, you know, we talked about our top 10 episodes. You guys can check those out if you want to skip around and things like that. But I would just watch the first season. I think that's the best way to go about it. The movies, obviously, are great. We'll be moving into Generations eventually. And the movies of TOS, I think, stand out in their quality. They're very good. They're not great. I don't think any of them I would consider to be a great movie. But I do feel that the ranking them, I don't want to give the impression that they're so viciously different from each other. I really don't think they're all that different. It's very much of a gradient between all of them, where I do think 3, Search for Spock, is the worst one, but it's not terrible and doesn't feel totally out of place. It just feels like it was like a misfire of an episode. And so I feel that you could watch all the movies and get something out of them. I can't say that for all of the episodes of the series. So that's really the sort of updated feeling about TOS. I don't have a lot else to add about that, except sort of I have like random points scattered down, but I don't think they're very coherent. Like McCoy in the movies is kind of surprising that he's not around as much. Like he's involved in a lot of them, especially Search for Spock. You think that he's going to amount to something, but he really just kind of tags along the entire time, which is a strange thing that I've reflected on after some time of thinking about it. But other than that, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I'm going to read a few of the comments that people left because I think it's a good way to get you guys involved. I think that you guys leaving comments are some of the most exciting parts of doing the show for me because I like getting all the feedback. And the people who listen to the show are generally very intelligent, it seems, and very thoughtful about what they're talking about, and their YouTube comments are actually very good. And people email me and things like that too. So if you ever want to get in touch, it's thepenskyfilevideo@gmail.com, thepenskyfilevideo@gmail.com. You can email me there or you can write on the YouTube page. Anything like that, however you want to get in touch, it's always appreciated. I'm thinking moving forward, trying to figure out ways to get people more involved. Patreon is a good way to do that. If you guys don't support the show on Patreon, a good way to help us out with our recording and also to have a more like personal relationship with the show is to go through Patreon, because there's Patreon exclusives for people up on the sites. It's more of like a back and forth communication. I can write a little bit more on Patreon because I feel obligated to respond to people on Patreon, where on YouTube I can, you know, if the day's busy, I kind of give stock answers. And please don't be offended by my stock answers. It's just I'm trying to go through a lot of stuff, and I want to write out things detailed in a detailed manner, but I just can't. So I'm not shorting you, or I don't think that I'm not just trying to be polite, but I sometimes can't get the responses out that I'd want to. The quality of the responses doesn't match the quality of the comments that I'm getting. So anyway, let's start this. I'll go through, I'll read these, and I might respond to a couple of points. Numinous20111 writes, I'm 48. I grew up on reruns of TOS on Irish and British TV. I'm guessing that the Penske crew are at least 10 years younger, or possibly 15. That's a good guess. We are all in our mid-30s at this point. The conventions of 1960s, 1970s TV are, as you've pointed out, different to 1980s and 1990s TV. I don't have as many preferences based on later decades when rewatching TOS. I don't mind the more deliberate pacing, and I usually don't mind the variable development focus of stories, which is mostly in context for the time. Definitely season one is stronger, and I'm selective about season two and treat season three as quarantined. But as always, I respect your opinions and your reasoning and attempting to arrive at them, and thank you for a rewarding set of reviews. So thank you very much. I pretty much agree with everything you said there. I think season one is the best. Being selective in season two is the best way to go about it. And quarantined for season three might be strong, but I'd pick a couple, like the Enterprise incident, I think is a good episode in the third season. So thank you, Numinous. Kyle Curry writes, quite an iconic show. A lot of these are responses to, I was asking the question in the video, why do people like the show? Or like, why people who grew up with it, what do they get out of it? And people who didn't, what do they get out of it at this point? Kyle writes, quite an iconic show that has led to many movies and spinoffs. Like everything else, it's had its ups, downs, and bumps in the road. 2S is definitely an acquired taste. Season 1 seemed to be story concept driven with big, deep meanings, or at least attempting to do so. Season 2 was more action-based, faster pacing with some comedy elements thrown in. Season 3 was at times all over the place. I suppose that knowing the show was on life support, the writers and actors just went for it. Over the top and campy, especially Shatner. Still, TOS was a great show to watch growing up and struck a chord in pop culture worldwide. Agreed about Shatner in season 3. I don't know if he was just like, you know, this material sucks, I'm just going to go camp, but you reminded me of another thing. I don't know if I mentioned in the first video. TOS, the stories that people remember are from season 1. And the tone of the series is season 3 and the public consciousness. So what I mean is that if you ask people to describe the episodes that came from the original series, they probably will list a season 1 episode, be it like Devil in the Dark or City on the Edge or Balance of Terror. If you ask them to identify like specific aesthetics and tone and like the acting quality, they'll probably go for a season 3 type thing, where Shatner's at his campiness, at his campiest rather. And the show is generally just like really cheap looking, and the music doesn't stand out. Anything sort of negative and easily parodied would come from season 3 in the way that it looks. And I think that's kind of an important distinction. And it's probably why I like season 1 the best, because I typically tend to like the plot of these things the best. Let's see. Elko DeBoer. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Some goddamn foreigner posting on it. It's Elko DeBoer. Something like that. It might be Dutch. Nostalgia is the reason that he remembers it. Nostalgia. The 12 really good episodes, and indeed because it started very loved and sometimes loved to hate Star Trek, started the very loved and sometimes loved to hate Star Trek franchise. That's why I like TOS. Well, yeah, I can't go around that. He also lists his really good episodes, which I will list off. This is basically his 12 favorites. Balance of Terror, Errand of Mercy, Day of the Dove, Journey to Babel, City on the Edge of Forever, Devil in the Dark, Gamesters of Triskelion. Wow, interesting choice. Mark of Gideon. Wow, another interesting choice. The Corviknight Maneuver, Mirror Mirror, Immunity Syndrome, and Ultimate Computer. I do like Ultimate Computer. That's an underrated classic, I think. Gamesters of Triskelion, I have a problem with, and Mark of Gideon. Mark of Gideon was creepy, but I think is a really stupid episode. I'm not shitting on your opinion because I think that it, I have my own stupid opinions about this stuff. But Mark of Gideon was, I don't know if I'd recommend watching it. It's creep. It has that creepy shot of the people looking in on the ship, and that might be enough just because of how unique that was. But I don't know if I'd recommend it. But thank you, Ilko. Anthony Alvarado. TNG was my Star Trek, but when I caught some of the TOS episodes on TV, I remember enjoying them. After hearing your podcast run through these episodes, I think there are memorable things about the episodes. I think you talked about that in this podcast, and we kind of forget the bad parts, especially since these episodes were not on demand like they are now, which is a good point. I think people have mentioned that before, too. I think that the majority of the TOS episodes are average with one or two memorable things about them. For example, Patterns of Force, I think, is an average or maybe weaker episode, but the memory of the Nazi uniforms makes it think it's a better episode than it really is. I'd probably agree with that. I also didn't remember the name, but I just remember that there are Nazis, and that's how I described the episode earlier in this podcast. And the rest of it is just when he started listening to the podcast. So thank you very much for the comments. And yeah, we'll be moving on to Deep Space Nine shortly, right after the movies. But thank you, Anthony. Barbara McGee writes, there's no denying that TOS changed the world. So much technology was developed and is being developed by people who grew up watching Star Trek and wanted to create that world in real life. Also helped to push forward all kinds of societal issues that we take for granted now. So yeah, it seems very dated, but it helped create the changes that make it seem that way. It's a very Trek-like paradox. I feel like every Trek fan should at least watch a few episodes of TOS. Maybe 10 to 12 of them can give you all the reference points that carry through into the future of Trek. Plus, it's a pop culture treasure trove. I feel like people who are hesitant to watch TOS could listen to your podcast as a viable alternative. I don't know about that, but I do agree with the 10 to 12 is all you probably really need. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Thank you very much for that. And there is no denying that it was an important show and a very unique show when it came out. There's some comments later that I'll get to that sort of describe that. Songbird 3411 writes, I'm hanging in through the TOS podcast, even though TOS is not my favorite Trek. I think it is kind of fun to hear people talk about TOS who haven't seen the episodes before. The episodes can be kind of crazy and can produce fun or interesting conversation. And no, I wouldn't rewatch TOS. I did a complete watch a few years ago when I realized they were all on Netflix, and that was enough for me. I really like a handful of episodes and think about a dozen more are just okay. That said, I'm happy to be leaving TOS behind. I think I agree with all of that. Thank you, Songbird 3411, for writing in. Vert 209, as someone who has seen the other Star Trek series but has only seen a few clips and bits from TOS, I did enjoy finally seeing some of the episodes. I've watched all the episodes that were covered in this podcast and one or two others just for fun. Overall feeling is I'm glad to have seen where it all began, but I'll be glad to get back to the modern era Trek. Pumped for some DS9. Aren't we all? I feel the comments are all kind of along the same lines. No one has emailed me or commented as like a steadfast defender of the show, which is both interesting and appropriate, I think. Like, no one is like, oh, you're totally off about TOS. Like, this is the greatest show of all time, which I think is an irrational opinion to have. But I also feel that it's like people are kind of like, yeah, you know, this maybe was good back in the day. This is kind of difficult to watch now. Undefined says, I've been listening to every single one of the podcasts. I watch through all TOS and occasionally feel like I want to watch certain episodes again, although I don't watch much TV in general, so I never get around to it. I think that you can enjoy the show if you're able to watch it for what it was rather than what it is 50 years after 50 years of evolving television. Also, I forget which episode it was, but someone on the podcast commented that that's a very visually appealing even now, and I have to agree with that. That's Clay who would make that point, and I do agree with it. It's a very colorful show, which the movies, the motion picture did its best to get rid of. But I do like the original uniforms and the color. There was a recent article on my Twitter. I tweeted about it the other day. Someone ranked all the uniforms, and I think they did a pretty fair job of ranking them. And the color uniforms kind of came in the middle of the pack, which I can appreciate, I think. The DS9 generation, or DS9 and TNG movies, are probably my favorite in uniforms, I think, the later Deep Space Nine ones. Let's see here. Oddman 2000. I'm pretty ancient, early 50s, and TOS was a staple of my childhood. It was in syndication and was kind of used as a filler in local TV schedules at odd times, times when my parents didn't exercise control over the TV. But you're right, it didn't age well. Cheap sets, preachy at times, often formulaic. Part of the reason TOS is fondly remembered is because early sci-fi was just terrible. NASA's space program had piqued people's interest in space travel to a degree, so both Star Trek and Lost in Space were greenlit. Lost in Space is total camp. As you noted in TOS, quickly devolved into formulaic plots involving a trio of characters. For Lost in Space, this was Will Robinson, young son of the mission commander played by Bill Mumy, comically sociopathic Dr. Smith, the stowaway who screwed up the mission and then got them lost in the first place, and the robot. Every damn episode after season one was that basic trio of characters getting into wacky predicaments. TOS is a positive gem by comparison. At least Spock isn't a robot with a metallic voice. The rather rabid fan base for TOS surely led to Space 1999 in the Star Trek animated series, and the special effects and ship sets didn't seem all that dated, until Star Wars came out and knocked the whole genre on its ear. So I agree with that, Oddman, and that seems to be a big point. A lot of the listeners who grew up with TOS very frequently are bringing up the point to me that it was unique for when it came out, and it was like the amount of variety, which is something that we kind of mocked on the podcast because a lot of the episodes feel the same to me. People have brought up Lost in Space and Mission Impossible as if you want to just like lose your mind, go back and try to watch an entire season of those shows, and you'll just be like, it's three plots just endlessly replayed over and over again. So I can appreciate Star Trek was trying to do different things there, and I think that it's eventually a strength of the series that they try to do so much different stuff. It's a strength and a weakness. A strength because it gives you a great variety of stuff to play off of, and a weakness because they never really get good at anything because they change up so much. But thank you, Oddman. Momorist, I feel the same way about Kirk. I don't remember what I said, except for that he kept killing his crewmen by sending them back to check the perimeter. He's more of a responsible and respectable captain from a crewman's perspective than I remember. That is true. It's unfortunate the amount of times that Kirk sends people to death. I'm sure someone's kept the number of red shirts who have died in the series, but it is a big difference between this Trek and the other series. They used a lot of recycled plots when the big three beam down and lose their communicators and are imprisoned until they karate chop and neck pinch their way out. Absolutely true. But I feel like watching the three of them do their thing was the meat and potatoes of the series as opposed to any kind of bigger message they tried to deliver. Overall, it's probably worth a watch, but I find it has very little rewatch value. The movies are significantly more watchable, though. I think I agree. I think they weeded out some of the more annoying parts of the series and went in a more Trek direction. Thank you, Momorist. And then Radio Farside. This is kind of a longer one, but I wanted to read it. I was 6 when TOS first launched and had just graduated high school when the motion picture was released. You asked why the show became what it was, and here's my answer. First, TOS was like nothing else on TV. Even though we didn't have a color set, I wouldn't see the shows in color until they were already in syndication. It was something completely different, to steal a Python phrase. The competition was Gilligan and Munsters and Untouchables, nothing very accessible in terms of what life could realistically be for us kids in the future. The closest competition was Lost in Space, which wasn't much competition. Star Trek held out the promise that we could conceivably live in that universe with talking computers, benign aliens, and zipping around to new worlds every week. Given the seemingly interminable progress of the Moon program, warp speed was mighty attractive. Second, TOS was kind of a cowboys and Indians in space. That kind of play was extremely popular with us kids. We played it all the time. TOS updated it with phasers and photon torpedoes and some really weird-looking Indians. But we also liked the sexy females with bare midriffs who threw themselves into hero Kirk's arms. Powerful fantasies for young male minds. What appealed to a lot of youngsters, though, was the TOS ethic of no money, no wants, plenty of everything. It was the first time I can recall that the socialist ideal that was all the rage with the oh-so-mature teenagers was dramatized. My dad hated the show for that reason. He called it commie propaganda, and because he hated it, that made it all the more attractive to me. It was the forbidden fruit syndrome of free sex, whiz-bang tech, and freedom that made it freedom from want that made it so interesting. Perhaps in the end, it was the tech that was the most attractive. We youngins had a sense that TOS was the world we were going to build. It shows up in 1,000 different places. Tablet computers, self-opening doors, flip phones, Bluetooth earpieces, floppy disks. All of that was created by my peers, and we all watched Star Trek and made Vulcan gestures to each other on the playground in the middle of phaser fights. I've watched every episode uncountable times, and I have the entire series, in fact, all of Star Trek in my collection. Occasionally, I get nostalgic and want to watch an episode or two. I don't really see the show. I see the fantasy my comrades and I shared that were inspired by it. I admit that there is little of lasting value in the shows themselves, but the ideas and dreams it gave birth to are the world we take for granted now, except maybe the weekly jaunts to other planets. I remember distinctly the first time I watched the show in color. My dad had bought a new Zenith console for the moon landings. I remember feeling somewhat disappointed because the world I had colored in my head was much better. If anything, that is the lasting sentiment I have carried for 50 years with this show. It always seemed much better in my head. Which I think is a great sort of synopsis of the series in general, especially for someone who grew up with it. I think it is, and I think Barbara had actually said this, that it's a better memory than it is actually like a reality at this point, and I think that nostalgia would certainly shape your opinion of it. Having not grown up with the show, I have a different opinion than people who did grow with it up with it, obviously, and that's probably why TNG is my favorite, because I grew up with it. But yeah, thank you very much, everybody, for writing. It's much appreciated. I love the comments. I love the feedback. I like building the little community we've got here, much like a commie propaganda that Radio Farside mentioned. I will become his surrogate father and tell you all that we can all live together and we can share our comments and everything like that. But in all seriousness, thank you very much for watching, listening, all that stuff. You know the links by now. You guys have been listening long enough. You can go to Facebook. You can go to Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. You can go to Patreon. Support the show that way. Get extra content. All that stuff. Anyway, guys, thank you very much. Generations will be out next week. And after that, it's a month of the Star Trek The Next Generation movies. And then Deep Space Nine. I know people are anxiously waiting the Generations to come out because we got a lot to talk about. I'm very excited to talk about Generations. And very excited to see where the TNG movies fit into the overall ranking, my ranking of the TOS movies. And, you know, encompassing all of Star Trek instead of just TOS. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you next time.